I'm going to turn the lights down. So when Shirin gave us this homework of responding to aesthetics, politics and art, either from our discipline or our own work, I'm a sociologist, so I could possibly, especially in 10 minutes, probably even in a whole week, try to summarise the stance of different sociologists to aesthetics. So I've chosen to do it through what we have at Goldsmiths, which is a methods lab, where we bring together different disciplines and work outside of the academy. Really, some people do ask us, is that still sociology? And I'm going to really look at this question of aesthetics as method. So where do we look for aesthetics when we turn our attention to politics? We look at the body, we look at architecture, we look at the event, and any event we know has a multiplicity of resonances. We look at the speech, but we don't look at the speech as simply text. But we also look at what Elizabeth Grosch refers to as non-textual real. The non-textual real, she says, exists before text and makes text possible. So we look, for instance, at the sensorium of the stadium, and we've heard some of the work today. And within the assemblage of politics, there are all these different agentic forces. And so I'm only going to give you basically a short snippets of my own work and my own research. And my earlier research on politics basically looked at outsiders on the inside in these very traditional formats, such as senior civil service and Westminster, and the performance of politics via the body, via the architecture, and wider framings and indexicality of behaviours was central to that. But what I realise, you know, many years now after that work, which I rhetorically call Space Invaders, is that I pay too much attention to space in that work. And so what I'm doing now is thinking of space and time, temporality together in my small project on the impossibility of Obama. And this piece of work is from an artist called Murphy, called Tension. And I've started some communication with him. He made this work for during the last Obama election, the 2008 election. And he says, tension was made in the week of the election. It was a visual depiction of the tension that could be felt during the closing moments of the race for the presidency. When I bought the material, the package read, high tension wire. It says, when you view the piece, it's a confusing mess that essentially makes no sense. Once you look at it from the preferred point of view, it resembles the presidential candidate. It kind of represented, he says, process of trying to make sense out of a confusing situation. So it's through, if you think about this, it's through the tension of the simultaneity of temporalities of the then, the now, and the future that I think we can understand the productive capacities that Obama actually during the 2008 election was able to somehow harness. And it is in the very simultaneity of the temporalities that there was this productive charge of tension. Now, Donna Haraway, who's done a lot of work on science and technology and politics, suggests that the object of study is inextricable from the apparatus or the technology of both its production and further elaboration. She says each object event has a temporary knot in a field of moving forces and requires a form of criticism different from a scientist's self-reflection or the critic's reflexivity. It requires, at least, Haraway says, understanding the field of moving forces. And I found this very helpful. Now, thinking of multiple temporalities together, if you think of method, this is like a nightmare, actually, if you want to do it as a researcher, but it's important to do. So if you think of multiple temporalities as a field of moving forces where there's continuities and change, one of the historians, William Sewall, has done this in relation to the French Revolution, actually. He notes that there's an occurrence of a diversity of temporalities operating in any present, and this raises difficult analytical challenges, as what you have to do, you have to have the ability to resolve temporal complex conundrums. Now, we think of formal politics and elections, very much it's about speculative futures. And speculative political futures, we know, are of course invested in fantasy. And putting it very simply, fantasy is a fictional genre where there is a suspension of disbelief. And, you know, you could say that the 2008 election was definitely one of those, suspension of belief, really, disbelief, rather. And so for the next few minutes, as we don't have much time, I'm just going to give one example of how I've been looking. So an aesthetic sort of method, looking at the different temporalities in relation to the 2008 election, and the current election is very different. Temporalities still operate a bit differently. So in the US pre-election rallies, 2008, especially abroad, you might remember when Obama, he'd often smile and then he'd remark, I don't look like the faces on the dollar bills. Mm-hmm. And he'd pause and knowingly, you know, crowds, and expectantly, if that, he'd have that pause built in into his performance. Crowds would roar after this remark. And then, being an unknown freshman senator, who in his own words was an improbable front runner, his newness was in fact a kind of a virtue and a capacity that allowed him to be seen to be what he declared to be. Now, obviously, we have this suspicion over him. So then he could declare himself to be hope of change. And if you look at closely that exchange that happened in Obama's performative enactment of the utterance, I don't look like the faces on dollar bills, during the primaries campaigns, he was able to draw upon the transformative tension and potential of his outsider status. While some aggressively and blatantly presented his outsiderness as a liability and threat to the American nation, in fact, they still do. I mean, the Birther movement's bigger than before. Others, at least initially, drew on his suspicion and thought, who is this Obama? But knowing this, at that time, Obama responded to the undercurrent of doubt that hung over him by making his outsiderness and difference, as I say, into political virtue, turning what made him into a liability into a strength. He worked on his denigrated strangeness and foreignness into an asset through which he could tell, through his story, a story of America that current contenders that at the time or previous presidents had not embodied. So very quickly, in the 2012 election, there is a different process actually of remembrance that's taking place in relation to the 2008 election. What's happening is there's this incredible calling upon the nostalgia for the 2008 election. And through that, they've been seeking the machinery of performance that have come with it to sort of generate this effective force of magnetism that the campaign had then. And much of it is done by stills and speeches that move back and forth from the 2008 to now. Now that's one area of work that you could say it's an aesthetic project, although I've not called it that myself. And now you might know he's going to appear on the new dollar, and there's been loads of abuse about that, but also alive presidents have never appeared on the dollar before, so some people think, oh dear, it's a bad sign. Now, the other thing we do at the Methods Lab, finally, is this is a big project, and Shirin and Christine were there, especially Christine, she was in Coventry Cathedral. So if you've only come to Warwick, you should go to Coventry, actually, as well. This is just a little island. And the real people live elsewhere. But I say that as a local from Coventry. And this project, Noise of the Past, what it tried to do is reroute the current aesthetic ways in which the nation uses war and remembrance to reproduce nation and citizenship. And to put it very, you know, simply, actually, there's another person over there who was also in the room. And we tried to reroute a global imagination of war, the war dead, by starting with post-colonial bodies who live in the cities where remembrance taken place, but they're not really a part of the imagination. And to do that by working with composers, filmmakers, and curators. So I can't really go into this event because, you know, we're running out of time, but that's another way that you can think about 1 minute. Right, so I'll just to say that I'll end with a quote to summarise this project maybe, from Henri Lefebvre in The Production of Space, where he says, what national monuments do is they transpose violence into beauty and conflict into consensus. So we're working against the current ways in which stone, cloth, archive is harnessed in remembrance, is sacred entity, but we're trying to open it up and take it elsewhere. So that's one of the methods that you can use to think about aesthetics.
Thank you.